this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
And then suddenly I remember that my registration for my vehicle is due. And it's due before the next payday, so I better get to that. Otherwise, I'll be driving an unregistered vehicle. $250, not much. We're good. We got this. Jesus provides. He's our provision. He's our portion. He's everything we need. But then in the middle of the heat wave, my electrician needs to be called out because my air conditioner's not working so well. It's just not coping. $150, not bad. Still good. We got this. But then he tells me, we need a part for that air conditioner. $120. Yep, pajamas. Still got it. While he's there, I get him to have a look at my dishwasher. I suddenly stop looking. And what do you know? We need a part for that one. $180. All right. While he's there, I get him to have a look at my oven that's broken. And wouldn't you know it, we need another part. This one starts to hurt a little bit. While he's there, he says to me, go ahead and order these parts and let me know when they come in and I'll come back. I really, really wanted to put a little picture of an arm and a leg there. Couldn't find one in time. But that's okay. And we get home the next day from work and we check the letterbox. And it's rates bill time. That's also an ouch. But that's okay, because that's not due straight away. I've got a little time to pay that one off. And we'll be right. But the week's not quite done yet. Because you make a phone call to the vet, because your much-loved family dog needs an operation. And this one starts to hurt a little bit. Then you get an email from the company that's doing the extension that you're putting on your house because your mumsy needs to move in with you. We need some energy certification done that's going to cost $400. Didn't budget for this one, didn't know about this one. But the email doesn't stop there. It's time for private certification. And that one, it's going to be about $1,000. Also didn't know about that fee. And just like that, in the space of a week, we're nearly $4,000 down. Bit of a buzzing sound happening in the background of my head. I'm not panicking, but it's buzzing. it's the voices. No, it's Jesus. No, it's just, there is a buzz in the background, the feed, but yeah, I think it's probably the hum of my heartbeat, and it goes, where are we finding $4,000, Lord? But then you get the call that you wish never came. Hey? Don't ask yourself. Sometimes Jesus sees that as a challenge. What else could go wrong? For me, it was a phone call from the bank after agreeing to lend me the amount of money that I need to build my extension and for the interest rate that I liked. They were reneging on their deal. Interest rates are shifting and they no longer wanted to offer that amount of money at that interest rate. And that means starting all over again. We've lost months of progress. We need to submit paperwork that I thought we were going to get away without submitting. And we need to start the process all over again. But hey, what's a casual $4,000+ amongst friends? Now for you, your call might have been something else. Could have been a poor performance for you at school or at work. Could have been conflict with a friend. Troubled family member. Perhaps you even lost your job. My phone call led to feelings of frustration and irritation, and it was hard not to lose my peace. But we've got Jesus. But the calm can disappear in the blink of an eye, and we're in the middle of the storm and the waves are crashing over us. And we're fighting just to catch our very breath. The Bible warns us that the enemy prowls around like a lion waiting for someone to devour. And he tells us that we need to be alert and of sober mind. So it means at this point we can't check out and go and have a drinky poos. We can't just give up and throw in the towel. We need to be alert and of sober mind. Because who's coming for us? Who's waiting around the corner to smack you with a big stick? It's not Jesus. It's the enemy. I tried to pick the most fierce, yucky, scar-looking lion there was. Most lions I see as Majestic and Mufasa and Jesus. I tried looking for a scar-looking, nasty, nasty lion that sneaks around, not like our Lion of Judah. So what do we do about it? Ephesians 6:11-15 tells us to put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. My struggle is not against the bank. Mm-mm. Nope. Your struggle is not against that health diagnosis. Your struggle is not against that person at work that lies and gets away with it. We'll talk about that later, Jesus. Your struggle... it's not against the authorities, against the powers of this world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's the enemy. He's the one that our struggles with. And that we get told to put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand our ground. And after we've done everything, stand. Doesn't say your knees can't be buckling a little bit. Doesn't say you can't be like catching your breath. But it says to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. And I hear you say, but Hayley, you were supposed to be preaching on the fruit of the Spirit kind of peace, not the armour of God kind of peace. But hear me out and you'll see why we're starting here. Not all distractions are bad, but the result can still be the same. This is our beloved Poppy, the one that needs the $750 operation. And she wasn't content with me putting on my noise-cancelling headphones and working away on my computer. She wasn't content that I was ignoring the toy she was throwing at my feet constantly, she wanted to play. So she decided she was going to climb up and climb up and climb onto the computer desk. Beautiful distraction. But as stunning and gorgeous as she is, anything that threatens my peace or distracts me from sharing the gospel of peace must go, even if it's just banished to the other room while I finish my PowerPoint. Dear Poppy. I hate shoes. If you know me, you come to my house, there's a pile of shoes at my front door. Because any moment I can get rid of shoes, I'm there. Matthew even made a meme once, was hilarious, called me the barefoot preacher because the amount of times I'm up here without shoes on. So up here on the board, you'll see my two favourite kinds of shoes. First one's my Havies. Second one, me work boots. We learned in that verse before about standing your ground and after we've done everything to stand. Now, I love my Havies, but there's no grip on the bottom of those. There's no holding on to my feet. There's no arch support. There's no protection from the rain or the sun. And you definitely can't stand on a ladder all day wearing your Havies while you paint your house because you'll end up pulling your hamstring, hurting your knee, stretching your Achilles tendon, and being in a lot of pain. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. Don't wear your Havies on a ladder. So if I'm getting to do my renovations, if I'm getting ready to battle with a tin of paint and a ladder, I need to put on my work boots. Exhibit A, me work boots. My strategically chosen footwear today because we came here to do battle with the Lord. We came here to win. We are prepared. My feet love these work boots. If I'm going out the box store at work with the massive forklift, I'm not going to be wearing me Havies. I'm going to put me work boots on. They've got steel caps. We call them my head kickers. I've never kicked a head yet, just a spiritual head. They have arch support that is so comfortable. They have laces and a zip that's convenient. They are easy to put on. They are lightweight. They are comfortable. They are waterproof if you don't cut holes in them with a steel blade. Don't look at my left foot. And I could wear those things all day. I could wear them for hours. So if I'm going into battle, what shoes am I putting on? It's not me flip-flops. It's me steel blues. If my feet are hurting from standing in me havies, all of me's hurting. It starts in your feet, goes into your knees, goes into your hips, goes up into your back, and before you know it, every single part of you's hurting. And if I'm hurting, then I'm not effective. And if I want to be effective for God, we've got to deal with that pain. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to get prepared. We've got to get ready. We've put on the right shoes. I want to stay ready, both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. So we put on our boots. The gospel of peace is the message that Jesus gives to those who trust him. Bless you. And all the blessings. And your children and your children's children and your children's children for 1,000 generations. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and not be afraid. This is what the gospel of peace is. So our shoes fitted with the gospel of peace. So what's the gospel of peace? That whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. And this testimony that God has given us eternal life. This life is his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son has life. So what is the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace is the message that Jesus gives those who trust him. This message comes with the assurance that we are his children, and there's nothing we can do about that to change it. Satan vaguely threatening for a minute there. John 1:12. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 10:27-29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I gave them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. If we apply this gospel of peace to our life, if we are worried for our children, if we are worried for our loved ones, this is where we go to. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hands. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. He gave you the right to become a child of God. It's the gospel of peace. These assurances are strong and clearly outline what it takes to be a child of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I've preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. Here we are, we're standing again. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received and I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We know this as the gospel message. The gospel message is the gospel of peace. God sent Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. He was crucified. He was dead and buried. He was raised again from the dead and he lives. And if we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it's with your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes him will never be put to shame. So if we've got that gospel of peace, we know the gospel is the good message. It's what Jesus did for us. That is our core belief. That is where we're at. I want to put it to you as I point to the computer, that there are two parts of peace. The first one I want to talk about is positional peace. So positional peace is an objective fact. It's not a subjective reality. It's got nothing to do with my thoughts or feelings or circumstances. Objective means it is solid, it is firm, it's immovable, it's factual. It is what it is. There's no changing that. Subjective could be changed to my feelings or something like that. So positional peace, which we have. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no denying that fact. You have positional peace. Every day of our lives, we have positional peace because of what Jesus did. We need to understand there's nothing we can do to lose this peace because we didn't earn it, we didn't create it, we didn't make it happen. There's nothing we can change the very real fact that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When I'm in a spiritual battle, I need to remember that I'm fighting from a place of victory. And I'm fighting with a peace that transcends every single circumstance, every single bill that life could throw at you, every single health diagnosis, every single challenging work colleague, everything. This peace transcends all of that. This is our gospel of peace. This is our gospel of peace that our feet are standing on. This is our firm foundation. This is why we have got the readiness of our shoes. This is where we're ready to go on this. That there's nothing that can happen to us that's going to lose that peace. We have eternal life. That we will meet Jesus. Then we've got experiential peace. So when we understand and we immerse ourselves in the positional peace, then we unlock experiential peace. It begins to do a work in us. This is peace that can... It transforms us. It transforms our hearts and it guards our hearts and it works on the inside of us. Even when all around us is still a raging storm, our hearts and minds are soothed from this peace. This is peace that we need to apply in our lives. And this is the part that needs our participation. And I put it to you that this experiential peace, the peace that we experience, is the peace that we know as the fruit of the Holy Spirit peace. It's evidence that we've spent time with Him in the Lord and that we're being transformed by Him. If a doctor prescribed a Valium pill to you, you couldn't just sit it on the bedside table and leave it there. You would actively have to take that to get that calming effect. I'm not advocating for Valium use here. But there are days, I'm just saying. Let Jesus be your Valium. Let Jesus be your tranquilizer. But you can't just leave Him sitting there on your bedside table. You need to actively take Him. You need to get it on the inside of you. You need to let it do its work. We need to engage with Jesus. We need to absorb His word. We need to show up every day and we need to choose Jesus even when it gets hard. Even when that phone call happens, even when the circumstances completely suck, we need to choose Jesus. There's no other option. There's no turning back. There's no backup plan. There's no plan B. Jesus is our only option. Everything that we have, everything that we need is in Him and He will keep us safe. Might not look like the way we want it to look like, but He will be there. He will, because Jesus shows up. And it's only through the Holy Spirit's revelation that we understand that thanks to Jesus that we are saved, that we are His children, and that He has good plans for us, that we have eternal life waiting for us, and that we can have peace in whatever storm we face, because Jesus is our peace. I'm not making light in any way, shape or form of any circumstances that you're facing. This week, my week was financially challenging. Other people have had rougher weeks than that. But we have the textbook Bible that we spoke about last week, the other week before. And it tells us that, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It doesn't deny the fact that sometimes life is just really, really sucky. And it's really hard. It doesn't deny that. But it says that even though we don't need to be anxious about it, we don't need to worry about it, because Jesus has already gone ahead of us. He's made a plan. And if the enemy tells you that Jesus mustn't love you, because this wouldn't happen if Jesus loved you, you can tell him Romans 8:28, that God's going to use it for good. There are so many Bibles. If the enemy lies at you, you just go and find a Bible verse to refute that lie, because that's how we overcome him. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Each and every one of us have a story here. Each and every one of us have been touched in ways. We have stories that we could show time after time, God showing up. This is our gospel of peace. It tells you to keep your feet ready, keep shoes on. Your mum's putting you in the car. Shoes on. This is your gospel of peace. Each and every one of you have that gospel of peace to share with others. So who are you going to tell about the gospel of peace? Who are you going to tell the good news to? Who are you going to share peace with? When somebody comes to you and asks you, where do you get your hope from? How are you still so cheerful? How haven't you given up yet with everything that's gone on? We need to be ready to tell them about Jesus. That positional peace is undeniable. That's yours. You cannot change that. But what we're responsible for is our experiential peace. So get into your Bible, get into the Word, sit with the Holy Spirit, let him change you, let him soften your heart. And we'll start to experience that peace that goes beyond any of our circumstances or any of our bills. We serve an almighty God, a sovereign God, a one that's in control. We're not steering the ship, he is. Jesus, take the wheel. Not that wheel, Jesus. That's right. You've seen that meme? I should have put that up there. There's a Bible verse that God gave me last week when Joe was preaching. Caleb's going to correct me on pronunciation here. I say Habakkuk. Would I be right? Oh, where's my gold star? We're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 3. And it starts with, this is one that you can, if you've got your Bibles, grab it out, because this one deserves a highlighter, man. If you've got your Bible app and it doesn't play songs and music and ads like mine does, because I'm a cheapskate and refuse to pay for no ads, this is one that you can write on your bedside table. You can stick it on your fridge. Habakkuk 3, and we're going to go, I wrote out 16. Yeah. Let's go with 16 to 19. Sword of the Lord when you're ready. Go, Kerry. Oh, electronic devices win today. Joe's still flicking. It's beautiful. Now, I read from the Near Infallible Version. I'm an NIV snob. But you can pick whatever version you like. So if it's a little bit different, that's probably why. It says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Well, that's a fair explanation. When the phone call comes and you owe all that money and the banks reneged on their deal, it's kind of a fair explanation of how my bones were trembling. Yet I will wait patiently for the days of calamity to overcome the nation invading us. And here is the bit that says, even if. Even if is my go-to. And it was a dear pastor friend of mine who showed me when I said to him, my motto is just even if, even when. And he said to me, it's biblical, you know, that even if I still choose God. And he showed me this Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to go on the great heights. Let that be our Bible verse for this week and the next week and every week thereafter. Anytime your peace gets threatened, someone tries to steal your peace, the enemy roars around and hides behind a nasty corner. There's no figs, there's no sheep, there's no food, there's no grains. We're going to rejoice. We're going to worship the Lord. We choose peace.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website, bethelcrc.org.au, or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.